Well, it's good to be with you again, and trust that the Lord will give help as we open up His Word a little. It's a familiar passage, I'm sure, to many, but I want to read from Hebrews 11 and from verse 11 down to verse 23. And we'll begin that just now. Through faith also, Sarah. I rather like this, that God identifies this individual by herself. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And really, truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And we trust that the Lord will bless what we've read from his precious word. So I want to speak to you just a little bit on the same theme as last week. And let me just remark at the beginning that God is very, very clearly interested in you and I and all his creation. As God looks upon our world today, he sees the panic and the fear of some, and thankfully, he deeply cares about our feelings. He sees those who act and live as if nothing really matters, and he knows our reasoning. Sometimes we need to feel his constraint. When we're anxious and overburdened, and we need his control when we are nonchalant. The Word of God shows us that God is looking for something specific, yet hard for us to identify clearly. And sometimes it just seems like the idea of faith is like nailing jelly to a wall. Something that the world in general has far less appreciation for, as he has in all ages and in every individual. God is still looking for faith, and he is looking to see if we understand, as we were reminded last week. And if we do, we will seek him. And in seeking him, we will be more calm. And we will sense his control in our lives. And it should be clear to us how we do that. It is, of course, through faith. God has devoted an excellent chapter of the Word of God to this practical reality. And it should show us how important faith is to Him. We need to remind ourselves that faith is not a standalone thing. Faith must have an object, and the value of faith directly extends from what it is resting on. Faith is not something in and of itself, not just some abstract mindset, but rather it is in God and in what God says. He gives substance to sustain whatever confidence we have. Recently, my wife and I were talking with our grandkids a little bit, and we were talking about riding a zip line. I haven't done it. My wife has done it. But I think I heard our grandson Lucas say that he wouldn't be afraid if he was strapped in. You know, we all want to put certain conditions on things in life. And when it comes to going through life, sometimes we wish there was something to strap ourselves into, but it isn't always available. I mean, how would you feel about doing a bungee jump? I know how I feel. And even certain bridges that people cross, they wonder at the safety factor. And even some people might wonder about jumping off a sinking ship and looking for the life raft that would sustain life, or when we're trying out a wobbly chair. Anyway, I just want to review a little bit of what we looked at last week. And we noticed there what faith is and how it's seen in the life of Abel. It had to do with offering what God wanted. And in the case of Enoch, it was the case of faith pleasing God. And when it comes to Noah, why, we know that he accepted what God says, and he accepted it without question. And in Abraham, there were a number of ways in which it was seen, how he obeys God, how he's lived as a stranger, how he sees what others did not see. And as we mentioned there, people oftentimes describe the chapter of Hebrews, this chapter of Hebrews, as a definition or a description of faith. And I mentioned then, and I'll repeat it now, I prefer to think of it as a demonstration of its reality in the lives of his people. God takes care to bring faith to our attention in this chapter in the lives of his own, real people who face life, sometimes even more bewildering than we do. And their lives teach us what is the real stuff of substance. It's faith. This is the real thing. This is true reality. This is faith in lives lived out. And so we look at those things, and as we considered last week, there are certain things that come to mind. So after extolling Abraham's faith considerably, let's observe other evidences how faith manifests itself in these verses we've read tonight. First of all, then, I want you to think about how faith produces miraculous power. And that power is life-giving too. We don't talk very much about Sarah's faith, but God identifies her as an individual of faith here in Hebrews 11. And her faith is really worth talking about. And it's a matter of something that's very personal. Romans 14 and 22 ask the question, do you have faith? Have it before God. And this miracle took place when all hope was naturally gone. Past, gone, and no more. When what is human and natural is hopeless, she knew she was just past it. Perhaps something today comes to your mind in the realm of the impossible, or what seems to be impossible. Perhaps someone precious to you seems so unmoved in their life of ignoring God. Perhaps someone is so blind to their danger, so heedless of the gospel, so foolish when it comes to the values that they're pursuing. Take note of this. It tells us of Sarah that she judged him faithful. She considered him the one with all authority. She saw the value of the promise God had given, and he is still the faithful one. Sarah may not have always enjoyed this kind of faith, but she got it at last. And in earlier days, she had taken matters into her own hands, and she certainly seemed to have her questions. I take courage personally that God can be so patient with us. Our lingering doubts do not change the great truth of who he is or what he can do. Sometimes you meet the sweetest older believers, and you just know that they've learned something special in life. And a number of those folks come to mind, and we miss them because they knew God. And he's the God who not only imparts life, but he transforms lives also. He's the ruler who could do whatever was his pleasure. He may not do it according to our timing or do it our way, but you'll notice she knew God had promised. He had announced his intent and had already engaged all his power to perform it. What a truth we learn about the power of a word or a promise from God. It is literally alive, and it cannot die. Verse 12 reminds us of what God can do and how wide-reaching is the result when God moves. Amazing that such progeny, as he's spoken of here, the stars of the sky for multitude and the sands innumerable, only possible because of God. Sarah, during 60 years of marriage, proved faithful and worthy so that God later uses her life as a model for all wives. Faith produces power. And then faith has perception. You notice how in verse 13, it talks about these patriarchs. And what it says about these patriarchs is this: they all died. They all died. Sad, but true. As wonderful and exemplary as their lives were, and after they had learned so very much, it shows how much time and truth God is willing to invest in you and me to develop it. Yet, they all died. Now I want you to notice these three words: died in faith. Died in faith. That is, they died the way they lived. Their hope in God had not grown dim. Back between 1993 and 1996, Bonnie and I helped out at Elam Homes, a seniors home that was a faith home here in Wabashin, now closed. But back then, there were a number of believers of various backgrounds and areas. And I just loved to see how faith had bloomed. And persisted in their life, and the perception that they had, and the kind of interest that they had, and the confidence that they had in God. You know, it seems at times like God removes so many things as people age. And it comes with its own sense of shame. But on the other hand, it may be so that certain traits shine through and we get a clearer understanding of what it was that moved their hearts in the pathway they took for God. Sometimes as we get older, sight gets dimmer. But the sight of these patriarchs was extraordinary because faith has vision. Faith sees what others didn't even notice was actually there. And looking around today, things can be so confusing. Looking within often leads to disappointment. Looking ahead all seems so blurry, but looking up fills the heart with delight. And these moments of contemplation supply us with strength for the day. They embraced what they knew was there. And that understanding brought them to plainly declare that they were pilgrims and strangers. How was it that they declared that they were pilgrims and strangers? It was by their lives and by their choices, perhaps in words, but primarily it was their life and their choices that showed they were pilgrims, they were strangers, they were traveling to a better land. And verse 15 further reveals that the former things had all been eclipsed by what they were occupied with now. How about us? Does your faith have perception? Then too, faith passes the test. When we come to Abraham in verse 17, we know that faith in his case caused him to give up everything. Everything. Though it must have been an incredible and difficult thing, he had no regrets. The son that he loved so uniquely, the seed that was promised, the very one in whom was his hope naturally. But in truth, his hope had to be in the Lord. And he surrendered it all into the hands of the God who had called him. Looking back, he would realize how much more he'd learned through it all. And someday to recognize that his actions pictured the greatest giving of all time when God gave his son. In Genesis 25, we're given to understand that he lived a good and a complete life. I thought about that. And would Abraham's life have been complete if he had not given his son? What about our lives? Are they lacking in some aspect that God is seeking in us? Coming again to verses 20 to 21, where we learn something about Isaac and Jacob, then we see there that faith provides a legacy. They were men who were content to live in tents in the promised land. Most people want to leave something for their families, even when their families likely have far more material things than they truly need. And we can leave the wrong kind of legacy, or we can leave the temporary kind. But the priceless legacy of years of godly choices and trust are the finest things we can leave behind. You notice how blessing was pronounced concerning things to come. And Psalm 112 tells us, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights in his commandments, his seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright endures forever. Faith provides a legacy. It passes on something that endures, that equips, and that enables. Faith provides a legacy. Then too, faith participates in the benefit of others. And Joseph is brought to our attention in verse 22. And even when his own day was done, you'll notice that as he speaks at that time, he doesn't go out boasting about all his own accomplishments, though they were many. He looks beyond his day, and he looks beyond his life with a grasp of God's greater intention. He grasped something way back when his brothers sold him into Egypt, and he knew that they did it for his harm, but God had allowed him to go there for good. And faith participates in the benefit of others. It anticipates and tastes the victory of others as they are to experience in the departure of Israel out of Egypt for the promised land. Think with me how faith prevails. Speaking of Moses' parents in verse 23, we remember and recall how faith removed their fear and accepted consequences if they were to come. And it must have looked so bleak at first to be in such slavery with no real expectation that things could ever change for the better, that there was no relief in sight. Day after day, life had been a heightened grind. And then the real blow fell. The death sentence for their hopes fell upon them. And they were told to cast their hopes into the river. What could possibly be worse? What hope was there for them? They must have come to it finally. Even if there were days of despair, even when they saw others submit to their evil masters, it was God who was the hope of Moses' parents. Doesn't 1 John 5 and 4 remind us, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. So, in conclusion, faith was seen producing power, as was the case of Sarah. And faith also manifests perception in the case of the patriarchs. Faith passes the test very clearly and plainly, and who could dispute it? Faith provides a legacy to pass on in the case of Isaac and Jacob. Excuse me. Faith participates in the blessing of others. That's what we see in the case of a Joseph. And faith prevails when the going gets difficult. In the case of Moses' parents, who feared not the wrath of the king, but boldly did what they had to do for God. As the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, when their faith was tested, in Luke 8, where is your faith? And I hear the echo still today. Believer, I address my own soul. Where is my faith? I close with this. James may well present this truth in James 2 and 18. When he said, I will show you my faith by my works, by my life. And in chapter 3 and verse 13, we read again from James, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, out of a good manner of life, his works with meekness of wisdom. Faith. 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 That's what God is looking for. These things gave witness to the faith of these men and women mentioned here. And we ask, what will be witnessed in our lives? And we remind ourselves, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. May God bless this word and you as people, and we'll